Volume 49, number 10 of The Friend Magazine, for October 2019. Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency, Loving Others as Jesus Loves Us, President Dallin H. Oaks. I Don't Want to Be Different. Family Night Fun. Frowns, Smiles, and Leaf Piles. The Living Christ. Hello from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Just a Prayer Away. Apostles Around the World, Elder Dale G. Renland. Bright Idea. The Phone Call. Friend to Friend, The Temple Challenge, Sister Joy D. Jones. Show and Tell. Matt and Mandy. And Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Courageous Examples, Serving the Lord in Spanish. What's on your mind? Should I keep reading? The Little Red Harmonica. Food and Fun. Music, When He Comes Again. Things to Make and Do. Prophets and Apostles. Fun Stuff, A Rhyme Every Time. Fun Stuff, Find It. Words Matter. Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones. Beautiful World. Taya's Scripture Time. The Scriptures Teach About Jesus. Scripture Stories, Paul's Missionary Journeys. Coloring Page. And The Great Family Shoe Hunt. End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail. Reading Through Thunderstorms. I live where there are a lot of thunderstorms and heavy rain, which can be scary for me. Whenever a storm comes, I immediately grab the Friend magazine and begin reading it to help me feel better. I always feel the Holy Ghost when I read The Friend. Danielle J., age 11, Virginia, USA. Coconut ice! Thank you for sharing the coconut ice recipe. January 2019. After we read the Ice Candy Mission Fund, we made some of our own popsicles. They were delicious. We had a family popsicle night, and we will be making them again soon. David and Nelson C., ages 3 and 1, Alberta, Canada. A better person. I like reading The Friend. It makes me happy, and I can feel the Spirit in my heart. The Friend has helped me to be a better person. Bianca C., age 9, New Mexico, USA. Dear friends, have you ever seen someone being left out or bullied because they looked, talked, or believed differently? On page 2, President Oaks has a message about being nice to everyone, not only to people who are like us. Then turn to page 28 to see how children have been showing kindness like Jesus Christ did. We love you, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. Send something in for the Kindness Garden. See how on page 39. End of Friends by Mail, read by Alyssa Peterson.
From the First Presidency, Loving Others as Jesus Loves Us, by President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Jesus gave his disciples an important commandment: love one another as I have loved you. As followers of Christ, we should live peacefully with others. That includes people who don't believe the same things we do. Here are some ways we can love others as the Savior loves us. Be kind to people who are different. Show respect for their beliefs. Never bully or insult anyone. Be a good listener. Be polite. Don't argue angrily. Stand up for what is true. Tell others about the gospel in a humble way. Speak the truth in love. Our Savior's commandment to love one another as He loves us is probably our greatest challenge. I pray that we can try to show love in all we do. End of Loving Others as Jesus Loves Us, read by Elder Jonah Brooks.
Make a friendship chain. Number 1. Cut out the paper strips below and tape a colored one together to make the first link in your chain. Number 2. When you do one of the activities, add that strip to your chain, plus another colored one. Step 3. Add your own activity to the blank strip. Ask someone who speaks another language how to say hello in their language. Ask a friend to teach you about a tradition in their family, religion, or culture. Invite someone new to play with you. Learn about children around the world by watching One in a Million videos at children.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of that activity, Make a Friendship Chain. Read by Mia Peterson.
I Don't Want to Be Different by Eliza Broadbent, based on a true story. The worth of souls is great in the sight of God. Doctrine and Covenants, section 18, verse 10. Micah always looked forward to dance class. She loved listening to the music. She loved practicing her butterfly skip and getting it just right. And she especially loved it when the whole class moved together. When they did that, it was like the dancers were all the same. It felt like she wasn't the only one with Down syndrome. Today, they were learning a new dance step. Micah watched her teacher leap into the air. She watched the other girls try. Some figured it out right away. Micah tried over and over, but she just couldn't get it right.
"Will you help me, teacher?"
Micah asked. The girl next to her looked at Micah. Then she leaned over to her friend.
"Why does she talk like that?"
she whispered. Both girls turned and looked at Micah. When Micah got home, Mom was kneading dough in the kitchen. She had flour on her cheek. Usually that would make Micah laugh, but today she just dropped her bag to the floor and sank into a chair at the table.
"How was dance?"
Mom asked.
"Terrible,"
Micah said.
"I asked for help, and a girl said I talk funny. Then she stared at me."
Micah looked down.
"I don't want to go to dance anymore."
"Oh, Micah, I am so sorry," Mom said. "Dad and I love watching you dance. We're so proud of how hard you work."
Micah felt tears starting to come.
"I don't like the Down syndrome in me. I wish it wasn't so hard for me to learn new things. I even have to practice talking."
Dad sat down by Micah and put his arm around her.
"Micah, we love you so much. We wouldn't change one thing about you."
But Micah just shook her head and buried her face in her arms.
"I don't want to be different. I want my Down syndrome to be taken out of me."
Mom and Dad were quiet for a few moments.
"I have an idea,"
Mom said. Micah peeked out over her arms.
"Why don't you pray and ask Heavenly Father how He feels about you?"
Micah thought about that. She liked saying prayers. Slowly, she nodded.
"Can you write down the question so I'll remember what to ask?"
Mom wrote the question down. Then Micah took the paper and went to her room to pray. A few minutes later, when she came into the kitchen, Micah's face was lit up like a light bulb.
"Heavenly Father answered,"
she said.
"What did he say?"
Mom asked.
"He said, 'Micah, I love you just the way you are.' And he said it with a loud voice."
The next week at dance, Micah didn't worry about what the other girls thought about her. Instead, she noticed another girl, Sarah, who looked sad. Sarah was having a hard time learning some of the new steps, too. When Micah got home, she decided to write a note to Sarah. She drew lots of hearts. Mom helped her with the spelling.
"Dear Sarah,"
Micah wrote,
"you're a great dancer. I want to be your friend. I'm happy you are in my dance class."
Micah couldn't wait to give Sarah the note. She wanted Sarah to feel happy and loved at dance, too. The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the story, I Don't Want to Be Different. Read by Shannon Nelson, Mia, Roseanne, and Austin Peterson, and Rena Nelson.
Family night fun. Here are some ideas you could use for home evening. Song, Every Star is Different. Children's Songbook, page 142. Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Activity, read I Don't Want to Be Different, page 4. Talk about how God loves each one of us. Give a paper and crayons to each family member, have each person write their name at the bottom of the page, and draw an outline of their head in the middle. Have everyone pass their paper to the person next to them. Add something to the head, like eyes or hair, to look like the person whose name is on the paper. Then write something nice about them on the page. Keep passing the papers, adding to the pictures, and writing nice things until everyone gets their own paper back. You can strengthen your family by being kind and seeing the best in each other. See Family Manual, page 155. More ideas. Look at the art and quotes on page 28 and 29 and talk about how you've been kind this week. Then make the garden cups above. Memorize Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 as a family. Then remove the poster on page 21 and hang it where you'll see it all week. See Family Manual, page 158. Read Paul's missionary journeys, pages FJ4 to FJ6. Paul wrote the scriptures we are studying in Come Follow Me this month. Talk about what you have learned from the scriptures this week. End of the article, Family Night Fun, read by Natalie Moore.
Frowns, Smiles, and Leaf Piles by Aaron Daly and Charlotte Larsable. Based on a true story. Aaron and Tony are fighting over a cookie. Aaron complains,
"Hey, your half is bigger. I want your half."
Tony pulls the bigger half away from Aaron and yells,
"No, it's mine. Eat your own."
"Mom, Tony isn't sharing right.
Aaron's trying to steal my cookie."
"It sounds like you two need something else to do."
Mom gently but firmly directs the kids outside and hands them a couple of leaf rakes.
"Please rake up all the leaves, but you're not allowed to help each other. That's the rule, okay?"
"Good, I don't want to help him."
"I don't need your help."
The grumpy kids get to work, staying as far away from each other as possible. After a while, Aaron notices how hard the job is.
"Ugh, my leaves won't stay in the bag.
This is taking a really long time. This is too hard to do alone."
"You're right. It would be easier if we helped each other."
Soon, Mom pokes her head out the window and sees Aaron and Tony working together.
"Hey, you're not supposed to help each other, remember?"
"But Mom, working alone is too hard."
"It's much better when we work together as a team."
Oh.
Later, as the kids help Mom bake some more chocolate chip cookies, Aaron says to Tony,
"I'm sorry I yelled at you about the cookie, Tony."
"I'm sorry I made my piece a little bigger. Next time, I'll give you the bigger piece. From now on, let's be a team."
"Good idea."
End of the comic, Frowns, Smiles, and Leaf Piles. Read by Alyssa Peterson, Lars Anderson, Erwin Whitlock, and Dwayne Case.
The Living Christ. The prophets and apostles wrote The Living Christ to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Read part of it each month and memorize the line in blue. We testify that he will someday return to earth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. He will rule as King of kings and reign as Lord of lords, and every knee shall bend and every tongue shall speak and worship before him. Each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts. When he comes again, when Jesus Christ comes back to earth, everyone will worship him as our Lord and King. After he comes again, there will be no sin or sickness or fighting anywhere on earth. Even animals will get along with each other. Look up 2 Nephi chapter 21, verse 6. Point to the animal pairs that the scripture says will get along after Jesus Christ returns to earth. Now draw a picture of who the scripture says will lead the animals and sing When He Comes Again on page 12.
Hello from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Hi, we're Margot and Paolo.
We're visiting the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DR Congo.
This is DR Congo. About 80 million people live here.
A big part of DR Congo is covered in rainforest. It's home to all sorts of interesting animals, like okapi, elephants, gorillas, and rhinos. DR Congo is known for traditional art like wooden statues, woven baskets, and masks.
Our missionaries started teaching people in DR Congo in 1986. Now almost 60,000 people there belong to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
In DR Congo, most people speak French at church. That's the country's official language. Almost 250 other languages are also spoken there. This year, DR Congo got its first temple. The church members there are excited to have a temple in their country.
Meet some of our friends from DR Congo.
One Sunday, there were soldiers everywhere, and my parents said it was going to be difficult to go to church. I told my parents that we should attend at least sacrament meeting. Together, we showed faith and went to church to honor the Day of the Lord. Prodi K, age 7, Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo.
I love helping others. One day in my class, a child was sad during recess because he had nothing to eat. I went to him and shared with him what I brought to eat. Celia, Shidibi K, age 5, Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo. Are you from DR Congo? Write to us. We'd love to hear from you. See page 39.
Thanks for exploring DR Congo with us. See you next time. End of Hello from DR Congo. Read by Wes Shannon and Sean Nelson and Mia Peterson.
Just a prayer away. Prodi was afraid to go back to sleep. What if he had another nightmare? By Lucy Stevenson, Church Magazines. Based on a true story. Pray, He is There. Children's Songbook, pages 12 through 13. Prodi sat up in bed with a jolt. His heart was beating fast. Rain pattered on the roof as he sat in the darkness. He could hear water dripping from the African fig tree outside his window, and the air felt sticky and warm. Prodi took a deep breath and tried to relax. It was just a dream. He crawled out of bed and peeked at his parents. Mama and Papa were sleeping peacefully. His little sister, Celia, was curled up in her bed too. Everything was okay. His family was safe. Prodi climbed back into bed and tried to go back to sleep. He tossed and turned, then tossed and turned some more. He knew his dream wasn't real, but it had been so scary. Even though he was tired, he was afraid to fall asleep again. What if he had another nightmare? Prodi lay on his back and looked at the ceiling. He tried to think of happy thoughts. Heavenly Father, are you really there? And do you hear and answer every child's prayer? A wave of warmth came over Prodi as he thought of the words of his favorite primary song. Sister Kioska had taught them that Heavenly Father was always watching over them. They could pray to Him anytime, anywhere. Prodi knew what to do. He got out of bed and knelt down to pray.
Dear
Heavenly Father,
he prayed,
I'm really scared. Please keep my family safe. And please help me to go to sleep and not have any more bad dreams.
Prodi finished his prayer and climbed back into bed. His body relaxed and his mind felt peaceful. Soon he was asleep. When morning came, Prodi woke up to the warm sun shining through the window. He could hear pots clanging in the kitchen. Celia was at the table eating leftover cassava. Mama was warming some up for him to eat, too.
Bonjour,
Mama said.
How did you sleep?
I had a really scary nightmare,
Prodi said.
But then I said a prayer. Heavenly Father, help me feel safe.
I'm sorry you had a bad dream,
Mama said. She hugged Prodi close and didn't let go for a long time.
But I'm so glad you said a prayer. It sounds like praying really helped you.
It did,
said Prodi.
I was able to fall asleep again, and I didn't have any more bad dreams.
Prodi hugged Mama tight. He was glad to know that no matter how scared he felt, Heavenly Father was just a prayer away. End of the story, Just a Prayer Away. Read by Roseanne Peterson and Sean and Rena Nelson.
Apostles around the world. Elder Renlund visits children. The apostles travel around the world to minister to people and teach them about Jesus Christ. Elder Dale G. Renland visits many places with his wife, Sister Ruth L. Renland, to help people learn about Jesus Christ. He gives talks and speaks to missionaries. Wherever he goes, his favorite thing is meeting and shaking hands with the children. Sometimes he even visits them in primary. Elder Renland said, "Do you want to know a secret? The Friend is my favorite church magazine. I always read it first." Elder Renland wants children everywhere to know that Heavenly Father knows them and loves them. End of the article, Elder Renland Visits Children, read by Alyssa Peterson.
Fun stuff. Find it. This girl drew the armor of God that she learned about in the scriptures. See Ephesians 6:11. Can you find the hidden objects? Hint, some of them were in the drawing. A spike, a hammer, a helmet, a sword, a green sock, a plane, a bell, an envelope, a shark, a shield, a white sock, a slice of pizza, a comb, a leaf, and some armor. End of Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
The Phone Call by Mackenzie Parsons, based on a true story. The author lives in Utah, USA. It is fun to have a friend who will play with you, but to have a friend, you must be a friend too. Children's Songbook 262. Mackenzie felt miserable. Her best friend, Becca, had moved all the way to Texas with her family. Mackenzie tried to have fun without Becca, but it just wasn't the same. Playing by herself just wasn't fun. Mackenzie missed having someone to giggle with and play superheroes and princesses together. She missed Becca. Without Becca, Mackenzie had no one to show her drawings to or sit with in primary. She liked the other kids in her class, but none of them were her best friend. One night, Mackenzie lay in her bed, hugging her favorite stuffed animal, Bunny. She counted all the days Becca had been gone.
"I'm lonely,"
she told Bunny.
"What am I gonna do?"
Tears filled her eyes. Bunny didn't have any answers for her, but Mackenzie knew someone who did. She knelt down beside her bed. Then she folded her arms and bowed her head.
"Heavenly Father,"
she prayed,
"please help me find a new best friend so I won't be lonely. Please help me to be brave enough to talk to people."
A few weeks later, Mackenzie's parents invited someone over for dinner. His name was Brother Bryce. He was new in the ward. During dinner, Brother Bryce turned to Mackenzie and said,
"My family is still in Colorado while I look for a house here, but I have a daughter about your age. Would you like to talk to her on the phone?"
Mackenzie's heart started pounding.
"What am I going to say? What if she thinks I'm boring?"
Then Mackenzie remembered her prayer.
"Heavenly Father can help me be brave."
"Sure,"
Mackenzie said in a small voice. Brother Bryce pulled out his phone and called his family. Then he handed the phone to Mackenzie. She bit her lip nervously.
"You can sit on the couch while you talk,"
Dad suggested with a smile. Mackenzie nodded and headed to the living room. She sat on the couch and hugged a pillow tightly. She took a deep breath and raised the phone to her ear.
"Hello?"
Mackenzie asked. A quiet voice answered.
"Hi."
Mackenzie took another deep breath.
"My name's Mackenzie. What's yours?"
"Hannah,"
the girl said after a short pause.
"Do you like books?"
Mackenzie smiled.
"I love books. Do you like superheroes?"
"Superheroes are my favorite,"
Hannah's voice sounded excited.
"What about princesses?"
"Definitely,"
Mackenzie said with a grin. Before they knew it, Mackenzie and Hannah were talking about all kinds of things. They could have talked forever, but Brother Bryce had to leave, and his phone battery was about to die.
"I can't wait for you to get here,"
Mackenzie said.
"Me too. You're really cool."
That night, Mackenzie knelt beside her bed with a huge smile.
"Thank you, Heavenly Father, for helping me find a brand new friend."
Mackenzie and Hannah have been best friends for 15 years. They grew up and went to college together. They're still best friends today.
Friend to Friend. The Temple Challenge by Sister Joy D. Jones, Primary General President. The hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 2, Verse 2. One Sunday, my counselors and I visited a church meeting. We gave talks about the temple and the special things that happened there. After the meeting, a 12-year-old boy named Colby came up to me and shook my hand. We chatted about the temple. Then I challenged him to find a family name to take to the temple. A short time later, I got a letter from Colby. Here's what Colby told me. I went home and found a new name. It turns out that I found my third great-grandfather. A while later, I went to the temple and got baptized for him. It was really special because my brother got to baptize me, and my dad got to confirm me for him. I felt a warm feeling inside that brought peace. I feel like what I did for my grandfather was really good, because now he can go to the celestial kingdom to live with his family. For the whole rest of the day, I felt really good inside. I also found out that no one knows who my third great-grandpa's parents were, so I can find their names and take them to the temple too. What an outstanding example Colby is. No matter how old you are, you can be an example to your family and friends. You can share the gospel with everyone you know, even your ancestors. End of the story, The Temple Challenge, read by Rena Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, we see Matt on the ground next to a broken tree limb where he falls and hurts his hand. Now he is taken to the emergency room, and the doctor says,
"He'll need surgery to make sure this heals right."
Concerned and surprised, Matt says,
"Surgery?"
The doctor also responds,
"Don't worry, Matt. It's just a small surgery. You'll be asleep and won't feel a thing."
Matt, worrying about the surgery, asks his father,
"Dad, can I have a blessing?"
And his father responds,
"I've already called JJ's dad to come help. He'll be here soon."
And then Matt thinks to himself,
"I can be brave, but I'm glad I'm getting that blessing."
End of this month's Matt and Mandy, read by David Shaw, Austin Peterson, Matthew Moore, and Wes Nelson.
For older kids, work towards your dream. Melitón González Trejo wanted to help the church, and he worked hard to make his dream come true. See page 32. What is something you want to do in life? It's never too early to start working towards your dreams. God's amazing world. Did you know oceans cover about 70% of our planet? Most of the plants and animals on Earth live underwater. There are mountains, volcanoes, canyons, lakes, rivers, and even waterfalls under the ocean's surface. Why did the cookie go to the doctor? See page 39 for the answer.
Art challenge. Draw or paint a picture using only dots. This style of art is called pointillism. London S., age 9, New Mexico, USA.
Family history fun. Draw a picture of one of your ancestors and put it in your journal. Scripture power.
This year, my family began studying the New Testament using the home-centered learning that President Nelson announced in conference. I am grateful for Living Prophet, who leads and directs our church, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to study the scriptures with my family each week. Canon A, age 10, Arizona, USA.
End of this month's For Older Kids, read by Matthew and Talmadge Moore and L. Anderson.
Serving the Lord in Spanish by Jennifer Maddie, based on a true story. Imagine that your friend handed you the best book he or she had ever read. You open the cover and discover you can't read the book. It's in a different language. What would you do? In the early years of the church, the Book of Mormon was printed only in English. President Brigham Young called two missionaries to preach the gospel in Mexico and translate the Book of Mormon into Spanish. But they needed more help to do it. Little did they know that across the ocean, God had prepared a man who could give them exactly the help they needed. Melitón González Trejo came from a wealthy family in Spain. He studied hard in school and became an officer in the Spanish army. He was always interested in religion, but nothing he found felt quite right. One day, he heard another officer talk about a group of people who called themselves saints. They belonged to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and a prophet of God had led them to the Rocky Mountains in the United States. Melitón felt a strong desire to meet them. He joined a military expedition to the Philippines, hoping he could get to the United States later. But Melitón got so busy with his work that visiting the saints started to feel less important. Then Melitón became very sick. He remembered why he had come to the Philippines and prayed to God about what he should do. That night, Melitón had a special dream. He knew he was supposed to leave for the Rocky Mountains. Once Melitón recovered from his illness, he continued his journey to the United States. He arrived in California on July 4, 1874, and headed toward Salt Lake City. When Melitón arrived in Salt Lake, he ran into a problem. He could read English, but had never spoken it. He couldn't communicate with anyone. But he decided that if he couldn't talk to people, he would get their attention another way. Melitón put on his Spanish army uniform and marched up and down the city streets. Just as he hoped, many people noticed him. Finally, he was spotted by a member of the church named Brother Blanchard, a university professor who spoke Spanish. Brother Blanchard helped Melitón get settled in Salt Lake and taught him the gospel. Soon, Melitón was baptized. Brother Blanchard also introduced Melitón to President Brigham Young. Melitón told President Young that more than anything, he wanted to translate the Book of Mormon into Spanish. President Young asked Melitón to help the missionaries who were going to Mexico translate parts of the Book of Mormon into Spanish. Melitón spent many weeks translating the English words into Spanish. Each night, he reviewed his translation with the missionaries. They spoke some Spanish, but felt this important translation needed a native Spanish speaker. They knew Melitón was an answer to their prayers. In 1875, the translation was published. It was called Trozos Selectos del Libro de Mormon, Selected Passages from the Book of Mormon. The missionaries were now ready to go to Mexico. They loaded 1,500 copies of the translated scripture onto horseback and started on their journey. For the first time, Spanish speakers were able to read the Book of Mormon in their own language. Even though Melitón had lived thousands of miles away in Spain, Heavenly Father led him to exactly where he needed to be. Because of Melitón's courage and faith, he helped bring the Word of God to countless people. Melitón González Trejo, 1844 to 1917, served several missions in Mexico and baptized some of the first members of the church there. In 1886, Melitón helped finish translating the entire Book of Mormon into Spanish. End of the article, Serving the Lord in Spanish. Read by Dwayne Case.
What's on your mind?
I saw a picture of a person without clothes on. It made me feel really weird. I'm not sure what to do. Help. Unsure in Uniontown.
Dear Unsure, what you saw was probably pornography. Pornography means pictures, videos, or books that show people with little or no clothes on. You might hear some people call it porn. It is disrespectful of the bodies Heavenly Father gave us. When you see something like that, you might feel curious, but don't keep looking at it, because it isn't good for you. Instead, talk to an adult you trust and tell them what you saw. They can help you understand the thoughts and feelings you had and help you stay safe in the future. The Holy Ghost can also help you know what isn't good for you and help you find things that are. We love you, the friend. If you see bad media, remember to tag. T stands for turn. When you see media that is bad for you, turn away from it. Turn off the phone or TV. Shut down the computer. Close the book or magazine or walk away. A stands for adult. Tell an adult you trust about what you saw and how it made you feel. They can answer your questions and help you stay safe. G stands for good. Do something good to fill your mind with happy, healthy thoughts. You could sing a primary song, draw a picture, or invite a friend to play. Remember that Heavenly Father loves you. End of the article, What's on Your Mind? Read by David Shaw and James Moore.
Should I keep reading? A true story written by you, by Brooklyn P., age 9, Utah, USA. Last year, I picked out a book at the library about a girl who started a blog. I thought it would be a fun book because the main character was the same age as me, and my mom is a blogger. So I thought it would be a book I could relate to. I had only read a few pages of the book when the girl took the Lord's name in vain. I didn't feel very good inside after I read that part, but I kept reading, hoping it was just a one-time thing. I read a few more pages, and she said it again. I went and told my mom about what I'd found. I didn't know if I should keep reading or not. My mom told me it was my choice, but she agreed it probably wasn't a good thing to keep reading if the girl was saying things we knew to be wrong. My mom said that it especially wasn't good if she was taking the Lord's name in vain. I thought I would see if it happened more, so I flipped through the book. I found that taking the Lord's name in vain was the way this girl regularly talked. I decided to return the book to the library without reading it anymore. I felt sad that the author of the book took the Lord's name in vain, but after I returned the book to the library, I felt happy that I made the right choice. I know I was following my gospel standards from my Faith in God book that says, I will only read and watch things that are pleasing to Heavenly Father. I know we are only supposed to use the names of Heavenly Father and Jesus reverently and with respect. End of Should I Keep Reading? A True Story Written by You. Read by Shannon Nelson.
The Little Red Harmonica by Angela Crucy. Based on a true story. Could Katie be the answer to Ryan's prayer? Help me with others, my blessings to share. Children's Songbook, page 22. Katie smiled as she hurried to her piano lesson. Today was store day. Every time she practiced the piano, she earned points to spend on prizes. Katie had worked hard, and she couldn't wait to see all the cool things she could buy. She looked at the row of prizes carefully. There were candy bars, colored pencils, baseball cards, and even a book of jokes. Then Katie noticed two little red and white boxes. She picked one up and opened it. Inside the box was a shiny red harmonica. The other box had a shiny red harmonica too. Katie counted up her points. She had enough for the harmonica. In fact, she had enough for both harmonicas. She would give the other one to her little brother Ryan. He was going to be so excited. Katie could hardly wait. When Katie got home, she tied a little ribbon around the box and gave it to her brother.
My own harmonica?
Ryan asked when he opened it.
Yeah,
Katie said. She pulled out her matching harmonica to show him.
We both have one. How would we tell them apart?
He asked. Katie showed him where she had marked an R in black marker on the side of his harmonica.
Yours has an R for Ryan, and mine has a K for Katie.
Ryan smiled. He took a deep breath and blew into his harmonica. Then he laughed.
You're the best,
he said. Katie loved seeing how happy the harmonica made Ryan. He carried it in his pocket everywhere he went. He even tucked it under his pillow before he went to bed. A few days later, Ryan came inside from helping Dad in the yard. He was crying.
"What's wrong?"
Katie asked.
"My harmonica. I can't find it anywhere."
"I'll help you look for it."
They went outside and crawled through the grass, searching behind bushes and under rocks. Dad helped them look, too.
"Do you think we should say a prayer? Maybe Heavenly Father can help us find my harmonica."
"That's a great idea,"
Dad said. They knelt down in the grass, and Ryan said a prayer.
"Heavenly Father, please help us find my harmonica."
The three of them kept looking, but it was nowhere to be found. Ryan went to bed without his harmonica under his pillow and cried himself to sleep. Seeing Ryan so sad made Katie feel sad too.
"Heavenly Father, please help Ryan to not feel so upset. Please help him find his harmonica."
Katie finished her prayer and climbed into bed. Then an idea popped into her mind. She crawled out of bed and pulled out her own little red harmonica. She washed it with soap and water. She could still see the K written on the side, but the harmonica's shiny red color made it look brand new. After Ryan fell asleep, Katie sneaked into his room and slipped the harmonica under his pillow. Then she went back to bed and tried to fall asleep. She was so excited to see Ryan's face. It felt like waiting for Christmas morning. The next day, Katie woke up extra early. Soon Ryan was awake too. She heard him yell in surprise and ran to his room. Ryan was holding the harmonica, smiling big.
"Look, it's my harmonica."
Then Ryan noticed the little K written on the side.
"Wait, this one's yours."
"I know, it's for you."
"Really? But I thought Heavenly Father was gonna answer my prayer."
"I think he did,"
Katie said back with a big smile.
"He just let me help him."
The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the story, The Little Red Harmonica. Read by Wes, Jean, and Sean Nelson, and Mia Peterson.
Congo Chicken Stew. Muamba Susu is a peanut chicken stew that's popular in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Here's a version you can make at home. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 1 medium onion, diced, 1 large carrot, diced, 2 tablespoons oil, 1 half cup peanut butter, 1 cup of tomato sauce, 2 cups of chicken broth, 2 pounds of cooked chicken, chopped, and cooked rice. Step 1. In a large pot, cook the onion and carrot in the oil for a few minutes until they're soft. Step 2. Add the peanut butter and tomato sauce and mix well. Step 3. Stir in the chicken broth a little at a time. Step 4. Add the chicken and let it all cook together for several minutes until the stew has thickened. If you want, stir in a teaspoon of crushed red pepper or a dash of cayenne pepper to add some spice. Step 5. Serve over rice. Enjoy! End of Congo Chicken Stew. Read by Shannon Nelson.
For parents of little ones, how have the Come Follow Me lessons made a difference in your life this year? We know family scripture can be hard, especially with young children. Here are a few tips from parents who found creative ways to make the lessons a positive part of their regular routines.
I use the Come Follow Me primary manual with my young kids at home. I figure it's okay if they do the same activity twice because repetition helps them remember. Jean C.
I pair the doctrines from Come Follow Me lessons with church videos. We watch a video, I teach a doctrine, and my children say and sign it back to me. We're a bilingual ASL English family, simple, yet meaningful. Michelle H.
We use Come Follow Me when the kids are in bed at the end of the day. They aren't running around, and they're very interested because the longer we study, the longer they get to stay awake. Holly H.
We read and talk about one section of Come Follow Me during breakfast. It takes just a few minutes, which is good for short attention spans, but it's enough to get familiar with the topics. Then we review in family home evening. Nicole E. End of For Parents of Little Ones. Read by Kristen Hawkins, Holly Anderson, Van Farnworth, and Rena Nelson.
Action Rhyme Beautiful World by Jordan Monson Wright. Stars in the sky, leaves on a tree, the roar of the ocean, the hum of a bee. I think the world is beautiful, and everything I see shows that God is my Father, and He made this world for me.
End of the action rhyme, Beautiful World, read by Lars Anderson.
Taya's Scripture Time. Taya reads scriptures with her family. Mom and Dad help her. They act out scripture stories. On Sunday, Taya listens to the primary lesson. I know this story, she says. Taya shares what she knows with her primary class. She feels happy and warm inside.
End of Taya's Scripture Time. Read by L. Anderson.
Scripture Stories, Paul's Missionary Journeys, by Marissa Whittison, Church Magazines. The Apostle Paul traveled to different lands to teach people about Jesus. There were no cars or airplanes back then, so he walked a lot. Sometimes he traveled by ship. Paul taught people in churches and homes. He taught people on rocky hilltops and city streets. Many people didn't like what Paul taught. Sometimes Paul got sent to prison. Sometimes Paul got sick. But through all these hard things, Paul had faith. He said, I can do all things through Christ. He knew Jesus would help him be strong. Jesus Christ can help me be strong too. He loves me, and I love Him. You can watch videos about Paul at BibleVideos.ChurchOfJesusChrist.org. End of the article, Scripture Stories, read by Shauna Thompson.
The Great Family Shoe Hunt by Jane McBride, based on a true story. The flood was bad. It washed away houses. Now some people didn't have homes. Cameron wanted to help. But how? On Sunday, the primary president said,
We're collecting shoes for families who were in the flood.
That night, Cameron talked to Mom and Dad.
Can we look for shoes for home evening?
Great idea,
Mom said.
We'll call it the Great Family Shoe Hunt,
Dad said. At home evening, Dad said a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have been given so much. Help us to share. Then the hunt began. Cameron ran to his room. His brother and sister ran to look for shoes, too. Cameron looked in his closet. He found a pair of church shoes. Then he found a pair of tennis shoes. The shoes didn't fit anymore, but they were still good shoes. Everyone came back to the living room. They had found 5 pairs of shoes to share.
Now let's fix them up,
Mom said. They rubbed away spots, they polished, they put in new laces. The shoes looked almost new. On Sunday, Cameron's family took the shoes to primary.
Thank you,
the primary president said.
When we help others, we are following Jesus.
She gave each child a small paper footprint. Cameron smiled. He liked following Jesus. The author lives in Colorado, USA. End of the story, The Great Family Shoe Hunt. Read by Jane Wise, Rena Nelson, Austin Peterson, and Sean and Wes Nelson.